Scripture for today is Galatians 1, 11 through 27, 24, sorry. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it, and how I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart from before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult anyone, nor did I go to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me. Amen.
Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to come and to read your word and to be changed and transformed by your word. Lord, as we look at this passage and look at the testimony of Paul, we pray that we would be encouraged. We pray that we would be inspired to glorify you. And Lord, I pray that we would begin to recognize godly authority and the truth of the scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple weeks back, we started in the book of Galatians, and to catch you up if you haven't been here or haven't been paying attention, what's been going on is Paul has introduced himself to this group of churches, to a group of churches that are in the region of Galatia. It would be similar to if Billy Graham were to write a letter to us, but not title it to Hoffman Street Baptist Church, but instead to the churches of the region. And what we find is that Paul had gone through, and he had gone through the region, through the area of Galatia, and he had been planting churches, and he had been starting new works, introducing people to the gospel. And he had left to go and continue his ministry elsewhere. And people had come up from within the church and began to speak poorly of Paul. Now, this group of believers was known as the Judaizers. And what they were is they claimed to be Christian. Claimed to love Jesus. But their message was not one of the gospel. Instead, they preached what Paul called last week another gospel that is no gospel. It is not good news, and that's what gospel means. But what they began to preach is Jesus is a good Jew. You should be a good Jew. Follow Jesus' example and be a good Jew rather than grasping that Jesus' righteousness was enough for us. And there is nothing we can do to please God, that Jesus pleased God for us. But the Judaizers didn't get that. And they were doing everything in their power to usurp authority and to discredit Paul that they could. And so what we see today is Paul gives his testimony. What the Judaizers were most probably saying, based on what we can see from Paul's argument, is that Paul is just another guy. He's just another guy who went and learned under the teaching of the apostles. And from there, he went out and started preaching the same message that the apostles preached, or he started messing up the gospel. Went off on his own way. And what these Judaizers were doing was they were coming into the church and they were saying, we understand where you're coming from, and we appreciate what Paul did, but he really screwed it up here. He really missed the point. And to be a good Christian, to be a good follower of Jesus, what you need to do is you need to be a good Jew like Jesus. You need to make sure that you're circumcised if you're a man. You need to follow all the different feasts. And Paul is just another guy preaching another idea, and we disagree with him. One of the things that probably happened is these Judaizers were Jewish people who claimed to be Christian, who had lived in the area of Judea or of Israel, were Hebrew speaking, followed the law, and then when they saw this movement going off, they ran in to join it. And one of the customs of Jewish people in that day is, really, you did not interpret the scriptures for yourself. You did not read scripture and say, well, I think that it means this. What they would do at that time is they would quote established rabbis or established teachers of the law, most of whom had already died by that point, and they would say, this teacher says this, and this teacher says this. And one of the things that the teachers of the law, that the Pharisees and the Sadducees hated so much about Jesus, was the fact that he taught with authority. That he said, this is how it is. That he didn't say, this teacher says this and I follow him this way. He says, this is what God has done. And Paul preached the same way. The only person that he would really quote was Jesus himself. And one of the things that the Judaizers would say to discredit Paul is, oh, he's kind of a latecomer. His apostleship is not that great. His authority is worth nothing. That what he got was from learning from the other apostles, and that's where we find so much of Paul's testimony helpful. As the scripture that we read this morning shows, Paul was a man who hated the church, who hated Jesus, who went to go and seek and persecute and even kill and torture Christians because they had deviated from, as he calls it, the traditions of his fathers. And Jesus came down. Jesus had already lived his perfect, sinless life, died on the cross in our place, rose from the grave, and then ascended into heaven after appearing to many people. And he came down off of his throne and said, "I am picking Paul. I am going to introduce myself to Paul. And I am going to use Paul to reach those who are not born into Judaism, who are not born into the covenant people of God, but instead I am going to, through the ministry of Paul, adopt them and show them that I love them and that I am willing to die for them." And then after about 3 years, after Paul's conversion experience, after being trained and taught by Jesus himself and blinded, for those next 3 years, he went and did mission work. He didn't go running to the established church and say, "Hey, you know what? I just met Jesus. Can you teach me more?" He said, "I have been taught by Jesus, and I am going out, and I'm going to do." And then after that 3-year period of time, then he goes to the Jerusalem church. But he does not go so that he can be trained and taught by the apostles, because these things that are missing. Instead, he goes for fellowship with other believers. And he didn't even go and see a whole lot of them. Our scripture refers to him as going and having met with Cephas. Cephas is another name for Peter. He is the foremost of the apostles, the foremost of the disciples. Whenever the disciples are mentioned, Peter's name is always mentioned first. But Paul did not go for instruction and teaching from Peter. He went for fellowship. And he met with James too. And I'm telling you, if anybody has proof in their conversion experience, it's James, the Lord's brother. I've told you this before. I have 6 younger brothers and a sister. And the only time they would come anywhere close to saying that I am perfect is with a very sarcastic voice. Think about this. Jesus' younger brother said, "You are my God, Lord." I don't know about you, but I think it'd be a little interesting to look and get a glimpse into the growing up of Jesus and James. Did Jesus ever give James a wedgie? What kind of pranks might he have played on him? And you know that with Jesus being perfect, James always felt in the shadow of Jesus and probably resented him until the day he saw Jesus resurrected and realized that Jesus was God. What a wonderful testimony. And Paul doesn't stay long there. He just goes, introduces himself to a couple of people, has some fellowship, and leaves going back on ministry. And what Paul is saying through giving his testimony is not, I have learned under these leaders, but instead I have been taught by God himself. It is God himself who came down and did a private tutoring session, during which time I wound up blind. God restored my sight, but and I want, as we look at this wonderful transformation of Paul, as we look and we see that here he was killing Christians, and here he is now baptizing Christians, planting churches, preaching weddings, preaching funerals, correcting wayward churches. That the only way that someone can come from over here to over here is the fact that God has created a transformation in him. That, as Paul says it, he called me before I was born. God knew Paul before Paul ever had a chance to sin, and he did. Paul knew you before you ever had a chance to sin. And he sent forth his calling and says, be my child. Be my adopted child. You cannot do it on your own. But instead, I chose you before you were born. I loved you before you knew what love is. I cared for you when you were unable to care for yourself. And I have brought you from a place of sin and unrighteousness to a place where you have Jesus' blood covering you. And you are clean in my sight. Paul continues on saying that the majority of the Jewish Christians only knew of him by name. They hadn't met him. When he had come to Jerusalem, he hadn't hung out with them. But instead, they said, this man who persecuted the church is now preaching the gospel which he sought to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. That's verse 24. Do your fellow believers glorify God because of you, because of the work that Jesus has done in you? Do you follow hard after Jesus with all that you have had? Not so that you can make yourself righteous, not so that you can look good to everyone else, but because of what Jesus did on the cross. Because there was no way that you could live the life that Jesus lived. I really, really, if you don't grasp anything else in my entire time as a pastor here, is you cannot make yourself clean. Only Jesus can, because he was clean. If you don't grasp anything else, look at the life of Paul. Paul probably wasn't even too happy when Jesus showed up. He got blinded. He got told that everything he had ever tried to do was like dirt and muck in the sight of God's eyes. I want each of us, including myself, to become more passionate about sharing our testimonies, about sharing what God has done in our lives. Because it is one of the most powerful ways that God works, is showing how he has already worked. So I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony with you. I was raised in a Christian family. I made a profession of faith at a very young age. When I was still pretty young, my parents got divorced. I was confused. I didn't understand. I had spouts of anger and frustration and began to view myself through the lens that I thought my parents did not love me enough to stay together. As I progressed on, I went through a rebellious period. Some probably well-meaning Christians began to listen to rumors about me. Instead of addressing the issue with me directly or even finding out if it was true, they continued to pass on the gossip as truth, and I became very angry at God. I never stopped believing. But I said, God, your people act like this, forget you, I want nothing to do with you. And at the time I was being homeschooled, and for one of my classes, my mom made me read through the entire Bible, Old and New Testament. And I began to see that the character of God is so much greater than the character of his people, that even on our best day, we pale in comparison to him. And God called me and changed my heart so that I began to love him. A couple years after that, I felt the call to the ministry, which made me laugh. Also made me cry a lot. Spent a lot of time crying, praying, yelling. It was an interesting couple of weeks. But finally I said, all right, God, whatever you want, I will do. Still had a nasty taste in my mouth when in regards to Christians. And then God called me to be a pastor here at Hoffman Street Baptist Church. And like Paul, my dislike, distrust, even hatred for Christians is being changed and transformed to where I now have a pastor's heart, a heart of love for each and every one of you, and I want what God wants for you. And I'll tell you, there are some times when I read scripture, when I pray and God says to me and I say, no, that's not really what you want, is it? And I don't like his will. But I've reached a point where I've decided I will submit to his will. And I will tell you, as someone who has gone through not liking things that God has said and saying, all right, when I'm able to get far enough past that situation and look back, I can say, wow, God, you really knew what you were doing. And I'm glad I listened and didn't fight you kicking and screaming too much. Our God is so amazing that he loved us enough to leave his perfect heaven where he was being worshiped perfectly by angels all the time to live an impoverished and sinless life here on earth, to die on the cross in our place because we could not live that sinless life, and on the third day rose from the grave. What a wonderful story. This isn't the kind of story you make up. You're sinful, you stink, you're evil, you cannot make it to heaven. But there's a God who can move and draw you into his loving arms. What a wonderful message. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the testimony of Paul and for the testimony of others. And Lord, we ask that we would no longer be shy and timid about telling about what you have done in our lives, but that we would be passionate and encouraged and willing to step out on a leap of faith and share what you are doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. If Jesus has been working in your life this morning and you realize that you have only believed but never placed your faith in him, or that you are believing and placing your faith for the very first time, I would love to pray with you and be encouraged by the testimony of what God is doing in your life as Caleb leads us in our invitation.